What's up, Hudat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drinking tonight. It's a Wednesday night. I don't drink on Wednesday nights.
What?
It's the one night a week I don't drink. No, I'm the stomach's not feeling too good since the LSU game that night. I don't know, maybe it's something I ate. Wasn't the potato salad, I'll tell you that. All right, there's no Saints game. To recap this week, we had to search far and wide for some kind of football game that might be exciting to talk about, and I think we might have found something. I don't know. You be the judge. But we also do have a little bit of Saints news that dropped, or at least Saints impacting news. And then, of course, the XFL rules dropped last week. We have Jake and Drew, our XFL correspondents. I'll have a clip of them talking about it.
Oh, we have correspondents?
Yeah. Look at that. We put the B team on the XFL.
Oh, jeez.
And then we'll wrap up with Pick'ems. So it may be a short show. Who knows? The feedback came in, and it was mixed reviews on the XFL. So we're going to still talk a little bit about it and see what's up. We won't cover it extensively.
But, those are all my reviews.
They were all Jason. Jason's alts. In the meantime, put your hands and legs inside your earbuds. Put your seatbelts on and ride the ride. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I like that. Ride the ride. I did that. That'll be my final thought. That'll be my final thought today.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I have the glass of Wine Down Wednesday, which actually kind of works a little better than Wine Down Monday. Wine Down Wednesday kind of works, right?
It's
I'm kind of glad we're doing it tonight, because if we did it last night, I would have not drank a thing, because I drank a lot Monday night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when I say a lot, I mean a shit ton.
Like, really? You started early.
I couldn't wait. I was so ready for the game. I was kind of like, well, I guess I'll start 2 hours earlier. It's like I'm tailgating for the game, you know? And, you know, it kind of steamrolled.
I know.
So I'll go with the one, got the wine, still finishing up my dinner right here. Little healthy dinner, but yeah, I'll go with the one.
Good for you. All right, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm also zero, but I am sipping on some tears of Clemson fans around the world.
Yep, you were a little nervous on that game. We'll get into that in a minute. I'm going to check in on the live stream. We got Hudat Fitz coming in saying, all I have to say is, holy shit, did you see who's reffing the Super Bowl? Yes, we did. And that is one of the topics we'll talk about tonight. Michael Hedden, hello, guys. Doug James, thoughts on LSU next season? Might talk about that as well. Michael Hedden, happy birthday to the GOAT. Andrew Christopher Breeze, he says. I thought he meant the GOAT, GEAUXT, which there is a shirt, apparently, that somebody tweeted to us he bought, that it's like a stencil drawing of Burrow sitting on the couch with a cigar, and it says the GOAT, GEAUXT.
That really, I mean, that's the fucking best picture, man. Him on the couch in his uniform and cigar, that's pretty fucking awesome.
That's boss, is what that is. All right, let's get into it with the
game recap.
Slow start, but yeah. they were pinned inside the five like twice, so you know
it was kind of hard to get anything going that when you're pinned down like that. And you know, Burrow even kind of mentioned after the game, once they kind of figured out what they were doing, you kind of felt like that there was going to be like a feeling out period, and kind of for both teams, you know, once they, and you know, you got the nerves and the butterflies and stuff, so once everybody kind of settled down a little bit and you got into your game plan, you knew LSU was going to put up points. I was very impressed with their defense, you know, because Clemson's offense is really good. So, yeah, you know, they got down, what, I think it was 10 early. That was I think they hadn't been down by double digits all season, and they came roaring back.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson scored on the first drive. We kind of sputtered, but one of the unsung heroes over the last 5 or 6 weeks has been the defense. They were ridiculed after that Ole Miss game, giving up all that yardage, but they finally got healthy, and if you look over the last few games, the defense has really stepped up, and that was a key early in the game you know, Clemson had three drives and only got 7 points. They kept them in the game until LSU's offense was going to turn around. And, like, I know I was a little nervous, but, I mean, I was nervous against Oklahoma. I'm just – because it's a big game, I'm always just naturally nervous about these things. But LSU did what they've done all season. Like, there was no reason for us to be nervous because – When is this, especially this season, when has LSU shown that they weren't gonna just start lighting it up? You know,
that was my point going in. Where it's, I think Scott, when you texted, I don't know if it was a group text or if it was just me and you. You were like, "Yeah, how nervous we're." And I'm like, I don't believe that they're gonna have a problem with this game. And it goes back to, yes, Clemson's good, like we were saying last week, but LSU really is that much better. And like you just said, Jason, there was no reason, never a reason, to believe anything else. They had, I mean, they didn't just beat teams, they decimated teams. And when you look at the score, I don't know why, even at the end of the championship game, I'm sitting here still feeling like it was close, and maybe that was because of how it started. But when you go back and you look, like, we kind of demolished them after we took the lead.
Yeah, I mean, after the 17-7 start, they outscored them 35-8. The rest of the way, like it was a complete domination. And like, didn't they kneel the ball at like the Clemson four? So theoretically they could have scored again, yeah, to really make it look like, in, you know, to really like, to make it look like a three score, like the domination that it was, like the, and Clemson did pull within three early in the second half, but.
So apparently LSU has never trailed in the second half this whole season?
In the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter, they hadn't trailed. In the second half, they have. I know they were down to Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
What, in Texas, and they, was a back-and-forth game, too.
Yeah, and they won their games this year. I think it was by, like, an average of 20 points. I mean, that's just
well, against the of. Against the four teams that began the season in the AP top four, they played all four, and they beat them by an average of 20 points, which is that's the thing. Like, over the last few days, I've been trying to – see, you know, just read everything everybody has to say, all the superlatives, all the stats that people are throwing out, and you're like, geez, like, and I mean, you know, we've watched it all season, but maybe we just didn't sit back and actually look at it because we're just like so focused on getting to the title game, getting the one seed.
Well, kind of like when you look at the Saints records and all that too, right? It just kind of, they sneak up. Well, they don't always sneak up.
They don't sneak up. But yeah. But for the LSU,
when you look back on the season or something like that, and you start to see that something else, somebody did a, they ran a calculation or whatever, and they said that the percent, the teams that we beat this year, you could take all their wins and losses. They won 60% of their games. So we beat.
No. That's way low. They won a lot more than that. They were.
Well, you got to take into account we played some puff teams at the beginning. The teams that we and then
I got you. Yeah. The teams that we. I'm just thinking like the top. You know, because at the end of the day, we played seven top 10 teams at the time we played them. Five, I believe, in the final. Top 10 poll, but if you look at the top four teams, and maybe it was the preseason AP team, those top four teams, excluding when they played us, their record was like 60-something and 4. You know, excluding when they played us, and those were the teams that we beat by an average of 20 points.
20 points, yeah.
You know,
And you know, Burrow's just, I mean, good God, he the way he escapes and moves around the pocket, but. The awareness to keep your head up, you know, to look downfield. I mean, in the throws, they're accurate. You know, he's making the throws on the run, and they're just dropping right where they're supposed to be. And credit his wide receivers too. At the beginning of the game, they were, you know, kind of dropping some passes, and they kind of could have been the butterflies, you know, but they kind of corrected.
I think that's
and,
what it had to be.
They correct themselves and went on and, I mean, make some amazing catches for them, too.
It's so, a little reminiscent of the Kansas City game, right? The opponent goes up on you, and your guys that are known for catching have a few little drops, and then you just turn on the jet.
Dropsy!
Yeah, and I think you're right. It was kind of like the butterfly. Let me check in on the live stream. Davis Douglas is here, says hello there. Mordecai! Hey, Saints! Oh, no, hey, guys. Mordecai, Saints. Chris Farmer, him pointing to his ring finger was badass. Remember when Joe Burrow's coming to the sideline?
Yeah.
Everything Burrow did was badass.
I'll also give you two slaps across your fucking mouth because I like you. How's that?
Yeah.
You crazy. I knew that would spike your little tone up there, you crazy bastard. You.
Aaron King, shit, I'm late. Is the box still full?
it's probably about maybe half to three quarters full.
Check in on the box.
But that's only because I have another box downstairs that I began the night with. So I keep one permanently up here just for this occasion.
And then Debbie's joining us. This is like the third week in a row that Debbie's made it, and she's actually achieved top fan status. She says, hey, guys, enjoying watching y'all. So
watch out.
That's right. All right.
it's crazy. Like, it seems like as great as Burrow's been all year, it almost seems like he got even better as the season went along. The last three games, the last three quote-unquote playoff games, because Georgia was technically a playoff game. They lose that game, they might not make it into the playoffs. Georgia, Oklahoma, and Clemson.
But he'll probably be a bust in the NFL. So I would, if I'm Cincinnati and everybody before the Saints, yeah, I would pass on him.
Right.
Pass on. Let it fall to 24.
The new consensus of Louisiana Twitter.
Right. But he had 16 touchdowns and no picks in the last three effective, like in the three playoff games.
Yeah.
16 and that's insane. I mean, everything he did was insane. When you look back, 60 fucking touchdowns against the defenses that he played. I mean, the records that he broke, guys from Hawaii were playing all these no name, you know, sorry ass defensive teams. He did this in the toughest conference with the best defenses. It's just insane what he did.
You gotta make you wonder. Kind of makes you wonder what he would have done last year if he had this offense. Like, you know, I mean, I know it's, you know, because a lot of people are saying, and I've heard something, not a lot of people, I've heard one idiot say he didn't think he was going to, he didn't think that.
All right, one
he
idiot.
Didn't, it's
what
one
did
idiot.
I say, Scott?
that he didn't, he wasn't sure if he was going to be a good pro because he only really had 1 year of success. And I'm like, well, he only had this offense for 1 year.
Oh,
last year, you know, we're still doing the we're going to ground and pound kind of thing and not throw as much, you know.
I get it, the 1 year of success. But that 1 year was perhaps the best year.
Not perhaps. Statistically, the greatest year.
Right. The greatest year any, right, ever.
Ever. Not, you know, there's no question. There's no doubt. Right. This was the best quarterback ever, the best college football team.
And take the all right. Allow for the program to improve him because you did see last year versus this year, and the program was different. So that is a part of it. However, what the program didn't do is set up the way he can throw so accurately. I mean, he was. You remember Vince, like Drew Brees in his prime could throw into triple coverage and thread the needle, literally thread a needle. I mean, we all watched the sports science thing where he threw like the accuracy. Joe Burrow, those throws for the last, what, seven games even, or maybe the whole season, that's what he's doing. That there
whole
was a
season,
touchdown play
with...
that he threw on the right side of the end zone. You remember that play? I mean, he wasn't open, but he threw the ball perfectly. I mean,
even look
he
at the one
him
at...
open.
Look at that last touchdown in the Texas game when he had to flush out the pocket and hit Jefferson, hit him in stride.
And then, you know, and it's he's just like he's the perfect storm. You have the accuracy. You have the intelligence to be able to read the defense, know where to throw the ball. I mean, it's not just putting in the right spot. It's knowing where to throw it. It's the ability to escape when needed or even just to run if they call a draw. You know, that touchdown that he scored, they were stacking the line. They were coming. They were blitzing. They had been doing that the whole game, blitzing and blitzing. I mean, they got to him. I mean, they got to him a lot. But they figured out, okay, I'm going to counter this. They tried a screen. Really didn't work. So they ended up countering it with the quarterback draw. And he can run. I mean, he's just
– It was actually his runs that opened the offense up, that it finally stopped Clemson or at least got Clemson to start playing a little more honest to where they were allowed to start – playing their game. But remember, like they were LSU was trying different things. That's what ended up working.
Yeah.
And he pulled it off. And it probably sparked the team.
You know, a credit to Clemson. They're a great team. You know, that was the first game they lost in 29 games. The quarterback, I thought he was older. He's only a sophomore. So he'll be around for another year. you know, so he'll continue to grow and stuff. And
And they're going to have another cream puff scheduled next year, and they'll be back in the playoffs next year.
They'll be back in the playoffs next year again, and, you know, so, but I don't know. But, yeah.
But yeah, it was just a punctuation on a season where, you know, like at every turn, if you had any questions, LSU answered every single question that came up. You know, in the Oklahoma game, it was Jefferson with the massive game. In this game, it was Jamar Chase, and Chase coming back. He's only a sophomore. That's another crazy thing.
And you know, Hilaire might come back and stuff. But just you know, I've seen LSU win 3 national championships, and this one was just by far just the best one because it was so complete, the perfect season, the Heisman Trophy winner. You know, all the awards, all the accolades, it was just a total and complete season.
I agree.
It's pretty stunning, man.
Kind of really like how, you know, Bama, they win a lot of them, and that's all fine and dandy. But, and then our one feels like if you took all of theirs combined, like, you know what I mean? Like their spoiledness, I guess. And I don't know how they feel. Maybe they're all special to them, but. It's kind of like, would you trade 3 or 4 national championships that are just, you know, front of the mill for the greatest national championship in the history of college sports? Hmm.
When you put it that way, you know.
I don't know.
I mean, right. Like normally I'd say, you give me 3 titles, I'll take it. But to be as dominant and, you know, just, I mean, this is. It's amazing we were able to witness this all year and
not have it end in disappointment.
Yeah.
All right. Jason Lake says, go LSU. Mordecai says, wait, Breeze isn't in his prime anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I said that? All right.
He's in his 41-year-old prime now.
That's right. So the other things to bring up are Joe Brady is now leaving for Carolina.
Not that surprising.
No, I don't blame him. I wish it wasn't Carolina. You know?
Yeah,
but,
right.
Right?
But, I mean,
let's see. Like, the only thing worse would be Atlanta.
I mean, think about it. We say it every year. The NFC South always gets the LSU players. Now they're getting an LSU coach. Meanwhile, the Saints.
Yeah. It things on both sides, right? We don't have him for LSU, and we have to play against him now
twice. Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know, you kind of look at it, you know, you don't know what he's going to have to work with there personnel-wise. You know, is Cam coming back? Is Jared Allen, they're going to be the quarterback?
Well,
it might kind of take a little time for his system to find the right personnel. You know, they might not, because, you know, he's going to run the spread. He's going to do the run-pass option. You know, I don't think they have a quarterback to do that. You know,
I would think they're going to move on from Cam.
Yeah, I would think so. And they pick high in the draft, I believe, like 6 or 7. Yeah. They're like 6 or 7, so, you know, do they draft a quarterback? I don't know. Do they try to move up and get Cincinnati's spot?
I hope Cincinnati's not dumb enough to do that.
Do they try to sign a free agent maybe from New Orleans, like a Bridgewater? I don't know.
If he does that, and I'm done. Like, everything he did for LSU is erased. Then, you know,
what?
Fuck that guy. Fuck him.
Relax, guy.
No, you don't go to a division, I'll use the word rival, small r, and
you go to a professional job.
And then you don't go to that team with all of what you learned from us and then take one of our team quarterbacks and beat us with it, because that's what he's going to do.
Well, hold on. You're assuming – why are you assuming they're going to beat us with him?
Because that's just how life works for us, a Saints fan.
Shit.
All right. I'm going to be positive, though.
Positivity, Jeff. Positive.
It was never
you
him.
Faith.
It was never
you believe.
Him.
You just witnessed the greatest season in college football history. I mean, how can you not be positive at this point?
I will be positive. It was never him in New Orleans. It was never him at LSU. He's just a happy-go-lucky, and he wins by circumstance. And he's going to get exposed when he gets to Carolina, which is, you know, it also might not work in Carolina. It could be a dysfunctional organization. And like you said, it's going to take too many years.
It's also a head coach.
Aaron King's calling me a defeatist.
What he's going to do is he's going to go the Saban route. So he's going to leave LSU, go to the pros, then go back to college, but go to Alabama and be the OC for Saban.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
No, he's going to go to Auburn
Then fuck Joe Brady. Then fuck Joe Brady.
But if we end up getting one of the greatest of all time because he passes on a player and they, it's between us and him, you know,
mm-hmm. then yeah.
Worth it.
That's how the Saints feel.
I love you, Joe Brady, forever.
It was all part of the master plan. All right.
Right.
The other thing is Aranda's linked to Baylor and or Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Is that
yeah.
true?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's always been kind of – every offseason he gets linked to different jobs. I honestly thought that he could have left a couple years ago. I kind of think they might have told him, look, you know, you might be the successor to Ogeron, but after winning the title, Ogeron could freaking stay there forever, you know. So he might look to go somewhere else. I don't know. Like, I always thought that, and I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. But I always thought, because he always had the opportunity to leave, but he didn't. And it almost seemed like they kind of had a thing where, like, listen, you're going to be the next guy if O doesn't work out or if O leaves or, you know, retires or whatever. But now, I don't know. You know, things change every year. So
he means, okay, now that's like 15 years out or something.
Well, that's right. Also the idea, you know, he can also strike. I mean, I'd say strike, you know, when it's hot after coming off a title. Right. But, I mean, what he's done with this defense over the last 5-6 years has been nothing short of incredible. And he's definitely – I mean, he should get an opportunity somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
And, yeah, you know, if he leaves, we always have Bill Johnson to take over the defensive coordinator position.
Bill Johnson now has a Super Bowl with the Saints and a national title with LSU.
That's a guy who is what's the opposite of victim? He's a winner of circumstance.
Fails upward.
He's a, yeah.
Bill Johnson.
Did someone say Bill Brasky?
Bill Brasky!
Motherfucker.
All right. Delpit's declaring for the draft.
No surprise.
Is Moss?
Not yet.
Anything about him?
Justin Jefferson declared. Cushenberry declared. Patrick Queen declared. That
Queen
was surprising.
Declared. I knew that.
But look, I mean, you had to know you were going to get an exodus. I mean, again, how can you top the greatest season ever?
It'd be hard.
And, well, and like you know, that, these guys have to capitalize on their success.
Right. And I almost thought Brady might hang around just so he could prove that he could do it again. But Carolina's right. throwing so much money at him, like yeah. you can't pass that up.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I want to say like their owner is like one of the top five of the richer yeah. owners in the league, so
you can't pass that up.
Yeah, more power to him.
All right. So in Saints news, let me get into quick little headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Oh, there's Saints news.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Zach Line is retiring.
Yeah.
Mr. Zach Line?
Mr.
Close.
That's like the Bobby Boucher. The issue I have with that, and I, on the one hand, you can look at it two ways. One is the Saints have had good fullbacks under Sean Payton, effective fullbacks, no matter who's been back there.
I'm not worried about finding a fullback.
Right. The other thing is Zach Line missed the game against Minnesota, and I'm not saying it was that reason that Drew Brees seemed to be on his back or pressured and hurried and didn't have a good game.
Yeah, it wasn't. That would be Andrus Peat.
Right. But usually Zach – maybe Andrus Peat is always that bad, and Zach Line just helps
him. He's covering for him, right.
You need to refer to him as Pro Bowler Andrus Peat.
Yeah. There's another piece of news. How the hell? That just shows that Jason was right all along. The Pro Bowl is just basically, yeah. I think people wrote him in as a joke. It's what I think. It's like, we'll fuck the NFC now.
They put Wolford in today, also Pro Bowl.
Jeez.
Yeah, so we've got like 11 Pro Bowlers. Whoopity fucking do! Great.
Yeah. Great. So they all get to go to Hawaii.
No, it's in Orlando again, right?
Florida, I believe.
They get to go to Galaxy's Edge, bitch. That's not that bad.
All right.
I'll get to that later.
What other Saints news went on?
Michael Thomas picked the Twitter fight.
Yeah.
He didn't pick the fight. The fight got picked by a reporter.
Yeah, you're right. He was angry. You could tell he was frustrated with the loss. He was talking a lot of shit. To the teams.
He's been a little vocal on Twitter about a couple of things lately. But okay, so he does that, and then the Doak, Andrew Doak, who's, was he on Fox or WWL?
WWL.
Okay. WWL. All Fox, which, let's be honest, I mean, I get where he was coming from. He's kind of like, I don't know that I'd be talking so much shit because you're not playing.
If anybody's earned it right, it's Michael Thomas.
Right?
If anybody's right?
Earned the right.
Earned
Michael
the
Thomas
right. I mean, yeah, he's earned the right to talk shit about catching footballs.
I mean,
which he was. Yeah, which he was. You're right. But yeah, Saints Twitter totally backed Michael Thomas, not Andrew Doak.
Because that's what we do. Michael Thomas is our guy. He got paid and he produced. Michael Thomas is our guy. He can say whatever the fuck he wants. That's the way I look at it.
Word.
I've never even heard of this Andrew Doak.
I hadn't heard of him either until he sent that tweet. Never heard of the guy.
That's how you make a name for yourself. You
I
troll,
guess maybe that's what he
you
was trying to do.
One of the most beloved Saints. He said, you know what? If ain't nobody's going to know me for my good things, they'll at least know me for being a villain.
Maybe that's
no
what he's
such
trying
thing
to do.
As bad publicity? I don't know.
You know,
well, either way, he chose the wrong.
He chose
to fall
poorly.
That might be a good segment to come out. Like each week, we pick like Twitter winners and losers kind of thing, and we're like, "All right, look at what this asshole did on Twitter."
You have to find that clip.
He chose poorly.
All right, let's check in. There was one other thing. Oh, you did the Andrews Pete on the Pro Bowl. You covered that already.
I mean, are you Saints related? Sorta. I don't know if you're going NFL reach around late or not. Are you?
I mean, we have pick'ems, which we'll talk about NFL teams there. But
I was just talking about Keekly, Luke Keekly retiring.
Yeah, that was another one.
Kind of
retiring. I thought there was another relatively young guy that just retired.
I mean, look, you're
Marshawn Lynch is
Zach Lyon. He was only 29 years old. Yeah.
Well, he's taking care of his bread. He's taking care of his chicken.
Look, I'll say like this though, right? It's a vulnerable time for a lot of these young dudes. You feel me? They don't be taking care of their chicken right. You feel me? So, if it was me, or if I had an opportunity to let these little young sahabs know something, I say take care of y'all money, African, cause that shit don't last forever. Now, I done been on the other side of a retirement, and it's good when you get over there and you can do what the fuck you want to. So, I tell y'all right now while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies, you know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken, you feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals, because look, we ain't lasting that long.
Take care of his brain.
Yeah.
That's what he's taking care of.
Oh, yeah. Larry Fitzgerald will return for his.
Coming back.
Yes. Oh, Antonio Gates retired.
That's another one, yeah. But he's old.
Yeah, he's old.
39. But no, with Keekly, I mean,
that's
again.
Old for football.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
I thought you were saying 39 is young. It's young in our life.
Well, it seems young, but again, you're seeing a lot more of that, especially a guy like a linebacker who takes so many hits to the head. And you remember, what was it, a year, 2 years ago or 3 years ago when he got concussed again and he was like crying, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly thought he was going to retire then. But, you know, that's what you're seeing with the head injuries and these guys.
Has he been – like, has he played at a lower level since then? I don't follow him enough.
I don't know. I'm sure it's still a good level, but not his, like, all-world level, I guess. But, again, I only see him twice a year.
Yeah.
But, again, you're going to see this, especially if guys have been able to make enough money where they can retire. You know, they're gonna do it because, I mean, their brains are turning into spaghetti. I mean, look at you know, guys are killing themselves after all
this. Antonio Brown.
It's turning into Antonio Brown. Yeah. Yes. There's a piece for you.
That dude.
Okay. You like a while back, I remember we had the argument the other day, last time about the Saints stuff, and I was saying that, no, he doesn't have any CTE or brain damage or anything like that.
Classic Jeff.
He's just an asshole. Look, I was wrong. I think he is an asshole with brain damage at this point. Either that or drugs.
No, it's true. You know, when I was a boy, I really wanted a catcher's mitt, but my dad wouldn't get it for me. So I held my breath until I passed out and banged my head on the coffee table. The doctor thought I might have brain damage.
Dad, what's the point of this story?
I like stories.
All right, all right. Let's get into LinkedIn tweets.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just watch old bandit run.
I forgot Saints News, Steve Gleason getting the Congressional Medal of Honor or whatever.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The only NFL player to ever receive that. Pretty cool.
And he was diagnosed in 2011.
Yes.
But yeah. I mean, look, remember when he got diagnosed, I mean, at the time you're thinking, okay, he's got 5 years and that's it.
If that, right.
You know, now, and he's still here. Now, I don't know, obviously, his quality of life. You know, like, yeah, he's still alive, but his quality of life, you know.
Right.
But, again, he's still alive, and he's still inspiring I think that's the good thing. Him being alive is still inspiring people. I think that's a good thing.
And based on, you know, what he tweets out and what he does do, I would say that all things considered, he does have a good quality of life.
He's hilarious on Twitter.
Which, right, goes to show you the disease breaks down your body, but not your brain.
Not your mind, yeah. And he even makes fun of himself all the time. Yes. I mean, you know, he's hilarious.
That's why he wins the Congressional Medal of Honor.
I think so.
Because he's a good human being.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, back into the tweets. Davis Douglas tweeted to us. He says, my choices for these end-of-year categories, and he wants to know your thoughts on them, is MVP, and Davis, I'm thinking you're talking about league MVP or Saints MVP. Either way, Mike Thomas and DeMario Davis.
That has to be Saint. Yeah, those are our offensive and defensive MVPs are those two players.
Okay. I would agree. Anybody disagree? I mean, definitely the DeMario Davis, and how can you not say Mike Thomas?
Especially considering we were without Drew for 5 games.
Right.
And we were able to stay afloat.
Right. And in large part because of the two of them. Mm-hmm. All right, biggest surprise. Actually, I'm going to let you say and see if you're correct.
I'll go Deontay Harris.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. Nobody knew who this guy was. And now
no,
all of a sudden,
we all
he's
kind of predicted it in the preseason.
Did we?
Yeah. I remember. We all were like, remember we did a whole feature, like, let's get to know Deontay Harris.
Oh, sorry.
And you made fun of me for doing it.
that was like week two.
And I remember he played at a small school.
He did play at a small school.
Yeah. But he won a lot of awards there.
He did. He did.
All right. Scott, who do you think? Biggest surprise.
Man. I don't know how much of a surprise this is, but I would say, like, maybe Ramczyk, just with his total dominance that he had. I mean, we knew he was good. But when you have games where you take somebody who's like J.J. Watt and he doesn't record a stat in the game, it's like, that's just unbelievable.
And then, a couple weeks later, it was
He did it a couple weeks in a row.
Yeah, it was
against
like 3 or 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just shut people down completely. So, not necessarily a complete surprise, but kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
His dominance is a surprise.
Mordecai did also say, classic Jason.
What's that? Oh, come on.
All right. You're both wrong. Because Davis Douglas says it's Teddy going 5-0.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay.
Did he change your mind?
Yeah, I could see that.
It's crazy because he hadn't started in so long. You kind of forget about him a little bit.
Yeah.
Here's your next one. Rookie of the Year. Same answers?
Deontay Harris.
Jason?
Who was our first-round pick?
You can say Deontay now.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have a first-round pick. It has to be. I mean, I can't say, like, Gardner Johnson was good, but he's not the Rookie of the Year.
All right. He's the Rookie of the second half of the season. But, yes, you are correct. It is Deontay Harris. It's Davis Douglas's. Disappointing.
Oh, no, hold on. I might have Eric McCoy. Started every game at center.
Yeah.
For this team. You know what? I would put it on Eric McCoy.
Rookie of the Year?
Okay. Yeah. As good as Harris was.
Hi.
I'd put it on McCoy because of the importance, because he played every fucking snap on offense. So to me, it goes.
And in a way, he kind of like took that job from Easton before the season even started, right? I mean.
It was a battle between the two, yeah.
Yeah. So and it was kind of thrown on him because it was a surprise that
that Unger retired.
That Unger retired.
All right. Biggest disappointment. And I'll give you a hint. Davis Douglas is not an individual player.
Losing to the fucking Vikings? Can I put that?
That is, survey says number right? two answer. He gave a slash.
I was going to specifically say the O-line in that playoff game. I don't know if we're talking the whole season though, or are we
right because the line played well the whole season.
The line played well the whole season. It's just that last game they should have been. I don't know. Cornerbacks.
It's hard. You want like maybe our second receiver, but Traquan wasn't terrible. Oh,
he says the regression of the secondary. Biggest disappointment was the regression of the secondary.
But Lattimore had a good season. Von Bell had a really good season. Eli Apple struggled this year.
I feel he Lattimore regressed. Struggled in the latter part of the season.
He struggled in the Vikings game. He played well. Until the last game of the season, he sucked.
Eli Apple with his struggles, yeah.
He struggled, yeah.
And then the injuries. But it did kind of feel like the offenses that we were playing against had a little bit more passing success in the second half of the season than they did the first half. And for whatever that...
Yeah, I think it's vice versa, but that's okay.
I said it felt that way. All right. Mordecai said he votes Eric McCoy for Rookie of the Year. And Jason steals his comments.
No, see, I said it before it showed up because we're you're on a delay. We're not.
Yeah, James Cupid says CJG, and Mordecai says Alvin Kamara was the biggest disappointment of the year.
You know what?
I could see. That's
probably right.
I could see that.
Or how about not using Murray present as much as we should have.
Yeah,
That was a disappointment. Yeah. That's nothing on Murray because when Murray got the ball,
no, that's on Sean.
Yeah, that's definitely.
On Sean. I mean, when Kamara was out, you know, Murray stepped up.
He had 200 yard games in the games Kamara missed. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
There
man.
Has to be something behind
it's
that.
Ingram. It's Ingram. I'm telling you, Ingram leaving.
Up made here. Sean Payton decide.
I'm talking about Kamara. I'm not talking about. I see where you're going.
No, I think Kamara about Kamara. Had an injury. I'm subscribing to the Kamara injury
The injury did have an effect. Yeah. The injury did have an effect.
And maybe it reminded him. Maybe that's the whole thing. You got these electric players that when they do, after a couple of years, they kind of become human again because they start to think about their mortality and their longevity. He's got to take care of his bread. He's got to take care of his chicken. He's got to take care of his brains.
Especially running backs, because he's getting paid chicken scratch, relatively speaking. It's right. a lot more than us, right. but for an NFL player, he's getting paid nothing, and he needs a big, you know, he's got to stay healthy for a contract. So
that's true. All right. Biggest disappointment is the use of your running backs. That's from Chris Farmer. So I think that's the same thing. That's Jason stealing comments again.
Yep. That's my new bit. I'm stealing all your comments.
All right, and then the final segment or the final category is the best moment of the year. What was the best moment of the year?
Wow.
I'll give you a second to think about it, and which will also kind of help with that delay, and we'll get those comments in so that Jason can steal one as his answer.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to include – I mean, the Breeze touchdown is obviously probably should be
– The Breeze record breaking.
That's where I was thinking.
Right, but that's an obvious. So excluding that,
I bet there what Davis Douglas has. When you hear it, you're going to be like, "Oh yeah, that." But you're not thinking of it right now because it happened so early in the season.
I was thinking the Texans game, that first win of the season, winning on last second field goal was pretty big. Teddy going 5-0 was really big.
Mordecai's got it.
You know what?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I told you that's how you were going to react.
Yeah, I see it now, but I'm not going to steal it. But I was thinking the Seattle game, you know, we had those two big plays early. We had the punt return from Harris, and then we had the fumble. Was it fumble recovery or interception return for a touchdown? Like, that effectively, like, sealed the game, and that was the first game that Teddy started. And going into the game, we're all like, yeah, there's no way we're going to win with Teddy in Seattle.
in
the ring. Those two plays happened, and it really propelled us to win there and then gave the team the confidence to go forward with Teddy to win those next four games. So to me, the combination, I know it's not a single moment, but those two moments, because of what it sparked, I think that those were outside of the obvious that Mordecai said, I think those, to me, those are the biggest moments of the season.
All right. And Chris Farmer says the best moment was preseason when we had all that promise and a 40-year-old Drew Brees.
And Zion was healthy.
All right. So that's Davis Douglas's long-ass tweet. And now we get to Mordecai on Twitter, not Mordecai Live. And he says, if the Super Bowl ends up being Chiefs versus Packers, then I'll be 100% convinced that the NFL is rigged. Of course they would do that with the 100th season to end the same way and he said first season, but really the first Super Bowl was Packers and Chiefs. Also, it'd be a State Farm Super Bowl, Rodgers versus Mahomes.
I told y'all that.
You did. And I was telling you, please don't bring that up. I believe it less about State Farm paying for that and more about the whole first Super Bowl. And
yeah.
Yes, we understand that the Super Bowl is not 100 years old, but it is NFL 100. People are going to not look back beyond the first Super Bowl, so let's go ahead and do something like that. I could see that.
Yeah.
No, and I just think it's the fucking Packers get so many officiating breaks. So Aaron Rodgers gets so many breaks. The Packers get so many fucking breaks.
I saw a chart that was kind of like all 32 teams and how the officiating works out to where they get the first down on by penalty on third down plays. And the Packers are the team that both benefits. It's the combination of benefit the most on the X-axis and their opponent is punished the most or doesn't get it the most on the Y-axis. And the Packers are the number one team in the NFL in that category.
And do you know who's last?
Saints.
It actually wasn't the Saints, but I don't know. I think it's like,
I think you were looking at the wrong chart.
we were
definitely last.
Well, it wasn't a single season. I think it was like the last 10 years or something.
Oh.
Or whatever. Anyway, he goes on to say, also, how kind of the NFL to reward Bill Vinovich and his crew by allowing them to ref the Super Bowl despite the blasphemy they committed last season.
It was just payment for last season. That's all that is.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you did your job. Here you go. Here's the Super Bowl.
Right. See, and that's the thing. Everybody's like bitching about it, saying, how can you do that for a guy that made the biggest mistake in sports history? Not even 12 months ago. He didn't make the mistake, folks.
He did what he was told to do.
Let me ask you a hypothetical. Do you think the NFL would have had the balls to put him as the ref if the Saints were in the Super Bowl? Like, because they announced it now.
Yes, so yes. You know why? Because the NFL doesn't give a shit. They wave. They pull down their pants, wave their dicks at all of us, and we happily come crawling back, trying to suck it. That's what the NFL does, and that's what the fans continue to do. Ratings were up league wide this year. That you remember how we didn't watch the Super Bowl, and it was like, man, that's kind of crazy. This year, we were again the highest market in the league. We watched the games that mattered for us that didn't involve the Saints. We were like one of the highest markets. Because the NFL knows we're always going to come crawling back because people love football. That's the problem.
Maybe we
can't quit it. Apparently it's like heroin or crystal meth or whatever.
Heron.
Heron, man. It's heron.
It's a red herring.
You know, the only good thing to come out of this is maybe he's going to fuck up again on the grandest stage. That's the only
thing.
At this point, I'm hoping he fucks up gloriously. And there's a massive, 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 massive controversy of officiating in the Super Bowl, because that's the only way shit is going to change. Cause the NFL doesn't care about you. They don't care about me.
I tweeted this earlier before the show, and I'm going to say it on the show. At the end of what pisses me off the most is, I remember, you know, when we were growing up, don't you remember the whole thing about the whole officiating was the refs should never be a focal point of the game. They should, you almost should not even know the refs were there.
I didn't even know. I didn't know a name of one ref when I was growing up.
Right. You shouldn't know their names. They should never be.
Some of that's also the lack of the internet and social media. You didn't have access to know who these assholes were.
Either way, there was. They never should be. They should never outshine, and I'm using air quotes there, the players or the teams or the match. And now the refs have as much billing, you know, on the playbill as the teams and the matchup and the refs, the players.
National championship. We were talking about that at the national championship game. That fucking ref gave like a 20-minute speech before he flipped the fucking coin.
Right.
Shut up and flip the fucking coin. I don't care who you are.
Scripted speech that,
I'm
so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. And part of me is like, and I know that's college, but in the NFL, you remember when they had the referee strike and they had the substitute refs for a couple of – it almost like ever since then, the refs have become more and more and more of a prominent part of the NFL to where I wonder if some of that was that they were negotiating that they want more publicity. They want more visibility.
But they also – the replacement refs were even worse than these refs. Like they were so bad. And then these regular refs were like, hey, nobody wants this pile of shit. So they got cocky. And it's just fucking frustrating, man. Like, I don't know. It's not just in football. Like I get it. Officiating is not an easy job to do, but the NFL has not, like, a lot of these older guys have retired and they have not done a good job to replace them with quality officiating. A lot of them aren't full time because the NFL doesn't want to pay them, doesn't want to give them benefits. They want to be cheap because these are greedy billionaire assholes, which is crazy. You're a billionaire. You know, don't you want this? But again, they're like, oh, well, this invites controversy. It invites discussion on their league, and that's all. They want attention, whether it's good or bad. They want attention.
Right. You're right. The role of the referee is not to call a fair game. It's to build the sport. And it's working. Here we are on a NFL New Orleans Saints talk show talking about it. So, damn it, let's stop. All right, so that's all the tweets we have. Checking in on the live stream, Debbie says the NFL pulls people like a bull with a nose ring.
What?
A bull with a nose ring?
Got it.
Better that than a bull with a cock ring.
Oh, God. Josh Carroll, I'm still upset over the loss against the Vikings. It seems that Drew Brees had his head on the LSU game rather than on the Wild Card game.
Stop.
Maybe he really wanted to take a pick with Trump in the sweet SMH.
Oh, God. There we go.
All right. Debbie says, so right?
Right.
If they revert that, you can challenge PI. It's a slap in the face. And they, you know what? I think they might do that. They might revert that because they had no intention of enforcing it.
They did it to appease us for a year. They're definitely getting rid of it. There's no, because they don't want to fix it. If they really wanted to correct the blunt. Well, again, Vinovich was directed to do that. So that, of course they don't want to fix it because he did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And now he's got a Super Bowl.
Yep. All right. Big Easy Guy John checking in. Hey guys, late, but checking in. And you checking in just in time for Pick'ems.
Time to play the game.
That's right.
You don't need a now you play it. Oh, yeah.
You gotta take the control.
We
make it. I will
deliver the pain. You can't take it. We all went 2-2 last week. I tried to outdo you. It didn't work, so I cannot catch you. I mean, you got it, and you're guaranteed to finish above 500, and I'm guaranteed to finish below 500. I had Tennessee and Kansas City, while you had San Francisco and Green Bay. So you're sitting there at 46 and 42. I'm at 41 and 47. Scott also went 2-2 last week. He had San Francisco and Tennessee,
and he's 50 and 33, which actually puts him
ahead of you.
Yeah, but that doesn't count yet.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Okay.
What? He's not in competition for the stake bet. All right. So, and I actually forgot to bring the stuff over to the standings. I did everything, but I didn't do the standings. So, let's go ahead with the conference. That's not classic at all.
All right. So our first game is the AFC title game, Tennessee at Kansas City. I will say, I did watch the AFC games this weekend, but I wanted no part of the NFC games. I didn't care about either one. I watched fucking golf instead of watching Green Bay and whoever in Minnesota. I wanted no part in why. Fuck the NFC as far as I'm concerned. I am pulling for the AFC. But you got Tennessee, who comes off a big-time upset of Baltimore. So in their first 2 weeks, they went to New England, beat New England, went to Baltimore, beat Baltimore.
They're the giant killers.
You know, Derrick Henry, his third straight game of over 180 yards, which is crazy. He's going to be a free agent this year. But just look, again, Tennessee was stuck in the what's that?
You think they'll tag him?
They probably should. They're still gonna. He's still gonna get a lot of money, but you don't want to hand him a $50 million contract. You just don't do that to running backs. But well, Tennessee was stuck in the mud
when they turn defensive players into blockers.
I'll take them.
But they, you know, they benched Mariota in week 5 or 6, and now they got Tannehill. And look at this. And think about it. They won 2 games, and over the course of 2 games, Tannehill was thrown to combine like 100-and-something yards over the 2 games. You know, they are
How great would it be for Tannehill to go to the Super Bowl in Miami?
Yeah.
At this point, whoever wins this AFC game, that's who I'm pulling for.
Absolutely.
So they travel to Kansas City, who got a comfort behind win. They were down 24-0 to Houston.
Yeah,
and you're just like, holy fuck, what the fuck is happening?
Houston, I mean, that was an amazing game to watch. Just that's entertaining football. Houston going up, and then Kansas City just, what the hell? I mean, I would have loved it if they flipped it completely and like scored 48 unanswered points. Like we were down by 24, now we're up by 24. And Houston, no,
they scored a lot like a lot consecutively. They scored like 30, they had 30
something. Touchdowns.
No, did they?
In 3, 6, 7, 8 plays.
Yeah, right.
The two play touchdown, 3 play touchdown.
Right, and then the kickoff fumble. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were. I mean, and Houston, you know, I want to say they punted when they should have gone for it or something, and then they went for it when they shouldn't have. I mean, classic Bill O'Brien. But now you got Kansas City hosting the AFC title game. Mahomes looking like his healthy, great self, and they're favored by 7.
3. How much?
7.
Okay.
And I wonder if the guy who stole Jeff Saint's shirt is going to be.
Oh yeah, he didn't steal it. He bought it. He gave me money for it.
He did give you $20, but he definitely didn't bring it back.
I got $20 out of it.
You're right.
Which was a beer in Kansas City.
Right. So I have no idea what the weather is going to be like. I know it was cold this past weekend, but yeah, Chiefs favored by 7.
All right. I'm going to take the Chiefs, and this one because I can afford to take them. I worked so hard all year giving up my emotional picks, and I'm actually taking Kansas City because I want them to win. I'm actually a big, not big fan of Kansas City, but I've always, ever since my college days, liked Kansas City.
How about ever since we went there 3 years ago?
Yeah, but even predating that.
Okay. I'm going to go with Kansas City because, I don't want to watch the Tennessee give Derrick Henry 30 carries in a boring ass Super Bowl and win 17-13, and because I think Kansas City has the best chance to beat one of these NFC pieces of shit, so I'm pulling for Kansas City all the way.
All right, I'm gonna take Tennessee. I think Kansas City wins, but Tennessee covers. I see it as a three or four point game.
And God, the Saints went and beat this Tennessee team in Nashville. That was the game I was supposed to go to.
But wasn't Derrick Henry hurt?
They did rest him, yeah. we still would have beat him. All right, and now the NFC title game piece of shit. The Green Bay Packers finding a way to win, to luck box again because Seattle is incompetent at the end of games. They find a way to sneak by again. Green Bay got off to a big lead, and then Seattle came back. Seattle should have fucking won the game. Green Bay got the benefit of that first down spot on the Jimmy Graham catch.
I think he got it. But
they travel to San Francisco, who looked dominant against the Vikings. The only solace is the Vikings beat us, and then they got shit canned. And San Francisco looks good.
Once again, proving that they had no business in a game after the Saints, after beating the Saints.
It's just fucking aggravating. It's so aggravating, man. Fuck the NFC. That's the way I feel. San Francisco's favored by 7.5.
Seven and a half.
I'll go first. It pains me to actually pull for San Francisco because of the previous history with the Saints, but I'm pulling for San Francisco because I don't want Aaron Rodgers to get another Super Bowl at all because of the Breeze-Rodgers okay. legacy all debates. Right. I want Aaron Rodgers nowhere near a fucking Super Bowl.
Kind of going the same route. I'm going to take Green Bay, but I think San Francisco wins.
So you're going the same route, but not really.
No, I'm going the same route as the other game.
Oh, I got you.
Taking
the
Green other Bay.
Taking the points is what he said.
Not the right. same route as me. The same route as the
no.
Man.
Same route. As, yeah. It's all about Jason.
It is
all about Jason.
Fucking right.
He'll
it,
listen
donkey.
To what
Jason's stealing your strategy, just like he's stealing
yes.
comments.
I've been on comments, every yeah. single DPP show in history. It's all about me.
He's double been penetration, donkey punch. What?
Whatever you want it to be. It could be whatever you want it to be.
All right, I'm gonna
tub girl. It could be tub girl. Y'all remember tub girl?
Oh, I do. Yes, you remember. You think that's still online?
I don't know, checking. But the legit worst picture in the history of pictures is tub
I'm
girl.
Not checking.
You should. It's not your work computer, right?
No, but I'm just not checking. I don't want to see that.
Well, it's already ingrained in your brain, right?
All right, any viewers, you know. Anyway, all right, I'm gonna
tubgirl.com.
Somebody goes. I just want an instant reaction on the stream. All right, I'm gonna pick because you know, actually, some of our younger listeners might not ever have heard or know about it.
Probably not, because this was something
like
that was
early 2000s.
I don't know what the hell y'all are talking about.
This was definitely a decade ago.
Oh, you gonna do it? Go to it, Scott.
I'm going to.
I'm assuming it still exists, and your computer doesn't get. I'm assuming it still exists.
It's got to be there. All right, so I'm gonna take San Francisco. But mainly because I do want a Kansas City San Francisco Super Bowl so that handsome Jimmy G can prove that he is better.
Than Patrick Mahomes.
We can settle that debate. All right.
All right. So there you have it. The AFC game, Tennessee at Kansas City, Chiefs favored by 7. The NFC, Green Bay at San Francisco. San Francisco favored by 7.5. I will not be watching this NFC game. I'm going to be watching golf. That's what I did this past weekend. Instead of watching San Francisco, Minnesota, I watched fucking golf because I don't want to watch the NFC. I'm just angry. I'm angry.
All right. Okay, so now we're going to go into a very quick XFL segment for those of you who care.
Oh, that still exists?
Yeah. Each week. That's the segment. We're going to check and see. Has it been canceled yet? No,
right,
still
has, on. Has it folded yet?
XFL.
Oh, so, well, hold on. Why don't you check the live stream feed? I think Mordecai saw Tub Girl.
Oh, wait. My eyes need to be bleached now.
Thanks, guys.
He went to it.
that means it still exists.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. I bet. Oh, my. That is crazy. If that's still there.
But, right, like Mordecai, like that is legit the worst picture you've ever seen, right?
Why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
This is what happens when the Saints aren't playing late in the season. Right?
It's the offseason.
All right, XFL rules dropped. Real quick right here, I'm going to plug in a segment of me talking with Jake and Drew, the conversation I had with them about the rules that dropped.
So the rules are so easy that even a child can understand them. And that child is Andrew. Who is the Don't Patrol Podcast's Seattle Dragons correspondent.
Yay!
What do you know about the Dragons?
Nothing.
All right, what do you know about the XFL?
There's different rules in the NFL.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's different?
You have to go for a conversion, so like, if you want one extra point, you have to start at the 2-yard line. If you want two extra points, you have to start at the 5-yard line. If you want three extra points, you have to start at the 10-yard line.
Do you like it better than kicking an extra point?
Yeah.
All right, so what's the other rule?
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of rules. What other rules?
Wait, I got one.
All right, this is Jake, our Tampa Bay Vipers correspondent and Jerry Glanville fan.
I don't know. I don't even know who he is. He's the coach, right?
He's like a defensive coordinator. He's a 78-year-old Granny Paul who's coaching your defense.
Okay. The touchback rule is if it goes past the touchback without hitting on the ground, then you get the ball at the 35-yard line.
35 or 45?
35. 45 is if it's a penalty.
Oh, okay, the penalty is 45?
out of bounds.
If you kick it out of bounds, it's on the 45-yard line. A touchback is on.
No more game time. And they didn't, not that I read, that they had anything about against, like, rule, like, hitting rules. Mm-hmm. But I probably think if you did something like the Ram player did to Deontay Harris, I think it'd be okay.
What about the clock? The clock, or the halftime is only 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, in
and the clock keeps running. Oh, would they call it the...
They said 10-minute halftime, less break, more play.
Less break, more play. And that's the strategy. Oh, and the officials can review or all plays?
Every play has to be reviewed.
Or can be. It doesn't have to be. It can be.
Yeah. Well, they do.
Any coaches' challenges?
Nope. Oh, you get timeouts. Nope. You can't challenge. You only get 2 timeouts per half.
2 timeouts per half?
You don't get 3 okay. per half. You only get 4 timeouts the whole game.
So it is about fast. And how long is the play clock?
I thought it was like 20 seconds.
25.
25 seconds.
So who are your players?
That guy named Johnny Dude.
You better research.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be on it. Their roster's probably people that no one's even heard of.
So do you agree with Jason that this is going to be bad football?
It's going to be dumb. It is. It's going to be dumb. It's just going to be a bunch of... the final score is going to be like 63-17 or like 63-56. It's going to be a close game. Not close games at all. It's going to be dominating. One team's going to dominate. The other team's going to get crushed. Well, I think it's a really dumb... Like, it's really dumb, but like it's also like... It's going to be fun to watch, but it's like a really dumb thing that they came up with that's going to be good to watch.
Why is it dumb?
Well, who just brings up a bunch of players, messes with the rules, brings up a bunch of rejected players, and just makes a whole new league. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
So it can't be fun and dumb at the same time?
Yes, it can. It can be dumb. It can be stupid, but funny.
Like funny?
GIFs. Like GIFs. Well, it's good. It's like, you know, like stupid, but funny. And
so do you think they're going to finish the season?
Kind of like how Jacob's jokes is. They're like, they're like silly, but they're so dumb, stupid.
Do you think they're going to finish the season?
Yeah. Like
canceling it like the AFL.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, they will,
but the champion is going to be obvious. Because like it's going to be that one guy who gets all.
I definitely want to see this, so I encourage everybody who's listening to this to watch it.
All right. What other rules did you have?
If you catch a pass, you have to have both feet in bounds for it to be complete, and you have to have possession. Well, I mean, you do have to have possession, but if you catch it and only get 1 foot in bounds and then step out of bounds, it counts. As long as you have any body part of yours, once you catch the ball inbounds, then it's gone.
So if you catch it upside down on your head.
Yeah, if your head hits the inbounds, then you're good.
I think if you catch it like in 1 foot's half out of bounds, you're out of bounds.
They have a spotting official whose only job is to be spotting the ball. And
well, it's a new ball after every play.
Instead of having to use the same ball. That's going to make it faster.
Yeah.
Because of the play clock. What about coach to player communication? What's this?
You can, in college you can't communicate like through a helmet and coach. But in NFL, you can.
The original XFL used to be, they would broadcast. You would hear, as a viewer, you could hear what the coach was saying to the quarterback, too. So it does say here, broadcast partners would have access to this communication and might use it during the game. They don't have to use it, but they might use it. So they may show you, you can hear what the coach is actually saying.
There's, well, I'm going to say Blue 42, X95.
Okay, so there are 2 forward passes allowed, though.
Yeah.
So that's different.
So if
right?
you throw it, if the quarterback backs up like 5 yards and throws a 3-yard pass to a wide receiver right in front of him, and the line of scrimmage, he's not past the line of scrimmage, he can throw the ball down the field.
So you can do a double forward pass.
Yeah.
From behind the line, but very interesting.
Yeah, instead of like the jet sweeps that they do and they go.
Is that part of the dumb, but you want to watch it? Is that dumb?
No, that's actually really smart.
Okay.
I wish that was in the NFL.
So then don't you... All right, so more trickies. Are there any rules... all of these are different than the NFL or college, but aren't they the kind of things that you think the NFL or college should have changed about their game and maybe they wouldn't have to have an XFL?
Yeah.
They're able to make the changes that the NFL refuses to make for whatever
reason. The only reason why they have the XFL is because one guy wants to make money and these players suck so bad, but they have to play.
You're picking on these guys, but you're going to be buying a jersey. Mr. Viper.
It's like a Viper. But their names are way better than NFL.
Last final thoughts, you got 20 seconds.
It didn't say anything about the hitting rules that like you can like it didn't say anything about that, but I think Dad said something about like you can go like a big blow.
Alright, so Scott, you also looked at the rules?
Yeah, I looked at them. I looked at them a little bit. I sent them to you, I think, or I don't know. I looked at them.
Oh,
yeah,
you got to see the special twins. Let them have it.
And then Jake did check out his quarterback for Tampa Bay. And then they prompted me to look at my quarterback for Dallas, who's hurt already. He got hurt in practice. But they do expect him back in 6 weeks.
My quarterback for D.C., and I can't think of who it is off the top of my head, but I know he went to Ohio State. Cordell Patterson, maybe?
Former Saint. He was on the Saints practice squad. Was he? Right? Or was that that was JT Barrett.
That was JT Barrett.
Yeah.
And then if you get a chance, go
play
look
in the NFL, I thought.
Yeah, I'm sure he was with a team for a while. I don't know that he probably never got to him.
They had tryouts, I guess, open tryouts. And go look, Google, like, kicker DC defenders. And the picture of this kicker is fucking hilarious. It's like a guy with the old school helmet with one bar. And he's got on these goggle like sunglasses. It's fucking hilarious.
Was that Chad Johnson wanted to try out for kicker, but then also PFT commenter was officially trying out his kicker. Now I'm sure he's not a kicker and he's not gonna make it.
Which
not only are we spending time talking about the XFL, we're talking about XFL kickers.
Well, if Ocho Cinco becomes one,
Jesus,
that would be awesome. How many AFL or AAF, what was it, Alliance of Football, whatever, players do you think are in the XFL?
All of them?
Well, I mean, right? Because if you were good enough to get into that league, which folded, wouldn't that be where...
And not good enough to get into the NFL. One failed league to another.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Ever since Jason brought up... Yeah. Mordecai says that Cordarrelle Patterson is the Bears' returner right now.
Okay, maybe one.
And
you know,
Cordell Jones.
Cordell
is
Jones.
That's it. Cordell Jones. I knew I couldn't.
You talking about the XFL, but we're getting it all wrong.
Wrong. I'm old.
This is
classic DPP.
This is why the XFL is going to fall apart. Nobody cares enough or knows enough.
Right.
Cordell Jones. Cordell Jones. That's
and even when you try, you get it wrong.
And they have Nick Brissett, LSU running back. Right, former LSU running back.
All right. Okay, so with that, let's get into some final thoughts as we close out the show.
I'll give my one final thought. So last time we spoke, I was down in Florida, and I had yet to experience Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which I was doing the next morning. So I got to experience that, and holy shit, if you have any inkling of being a Star Wars fan, if you have like one midichlorian in your body, you need to find a way to get down there to experience that. The land, the rides. We did both rides. We piloted the Millennium Falcon. A lot of people had shit on it, saying it wasn't great. We both enjoyed it, me and the pilot. But the Rise of the Resistance ride is the best ride experience that I have ever been on. It mixes in real people, holograms, droids, flight simulation. You hop in a trackless vehicle and you move through a Star Destroyer in the heat of a battle with space. There are stormtroopers. I can't say enough. If you were a Star Wars fan, you owe it to yourself to go experience it because it was fucking awesome.
Would you say there's only one word that could describe it, and that word is scrumptrescent?
You know what? Yes. And that, like, and I also don't want to spoil anything for anybody. Oh. Like, I watched one YouTube video of the ride before I went on it, just so because I was only going to get the ride at once. I didn't want to miss anything, but I kind of wish I wouldn't have watched anything and just been blown away by just like everything. But just everything that goes into it is just. If there was a ride that was scrumptulescent, that one's it.
That's the ride.
All
right.
That's all I can say.
And is it like appointment only kind of riding?
So you have to show up in the park, and when they let you in early, but when the official park open was at 7 a.m., you have to get on your phone and book a boarding group. So you have to log into the Disney app, click join boarding group. Everybody who's with you, add them to your party.
It's like a mad rush on the app. Every
yes,
day.
Yes, yes.
And
so we had
book the next. You can't book a day ahead. It's got to be that day.
No, no, and it's just for that ride.
Crazy.
But we had a friend of
That's
ours,
crazy.
From, a friend of ours from Orlando, met up with us and met us there, and she got it quicker on her phone than we did. We were group 36, so we got like the park opened at 7. We rode it at about 9:30, but they go through about like 160 to 180 groups a day.
But that
so,
way you're not waiting in line long.
Right, right. Like let's say even if you're there and you get boarding group 140, like you can leave the fucking park, go back to your room and sleep if you want, and come back at 4 o'clock and ride it later. So it's not like you have to wait.
I wonder if that's and they're piloting this and that's gonna be how all rides are.
I mean I
hope not.
The only thing it like this ride, I don't know what the hourly capacity is because of how it's set up. It's not like all the trains are coming through, hop on the roller coaster, go. You're not pushing through 1,500 people, 2,000 people an hour. This is like an intimate experience. I think this is the really only way.
Was Leia there?
Yeah, in the bikini?
It's the new trilogy. Jeff.
Very
Sorry.
Intimate.
It's scrumptulescent.
And
maybe not all rides, but at least those types, like you said, those. I like
for
the way
for a ride like
that.
This, I think that's
experience ride.
Right, like that's really
where
the
you're
only way to
and
because otherwise it's going to be a 5-hour wait all day, and nobody wants right. that.
I'll go with the LSU theme. LSU basketball's kicking into high gear. 4-0 in the SEC. They're killing it right now. Playing some really good basketball. They had a game the other night. Skylar Mays made a 3 at the buzzer to win, which is awesome. Second, and I know we might have mentioned it earlier, but Zion coming back. Supposed to be coming back on the 22nd, home game against the Spurs.
A week from tonight.
Yep. So be on the lookout for that. Hopefully the Pelicans are really, you know, they're playing well right now. They're playing as a team. They kind of seem to have figured a few things out, and I just think throwing Zion in will kind of hopefully push him over the edge, move him into that playoff spot. So
I want to say they've won 8 out of 12, you know, after that long losing streak. But, yeah, like getting Favors back from injury has really helped him out. And their schedule lightens up. I mean, 14 of their last 15 games of the season are against sub-500 teams. And they're only – at this point, as of now, they're only 4 games out of the 8th spot in the West. I think Memphis took that over. But yeah, with Zion coming back, like there's going to be an excitement level again, and you can already see the ticket sales for when they announced that for next week compared to tomorrow night is stark. But I'm finally excited to get to watch him in a regular season game. And look, this team's the bottom of the West sucks, so we can easily get that A spot, and that'd be a fun. You know, we'll probably lose in the playoffs, but we could actually make it to the playoffs and play the Lakers or the Clippers. As much as I hate the Lakers, that'd be fun to kind of play them with a fully healthy squad and with Zion, you know.
Yeah.
It's waiting for the annual.
Get some playoff experience with the young kids.
You know? And also, you never know, like Anthony Davis is probably going to like hurt his taint or something. And who knows?
All right. And then I'll do a very quick final thought, which is more recommendations. Jeff's picks, if you will, for Netflix. Which is The Circle. I don't know if we ever mentioned – I think we did mention that on a previous show. So the last 4 episodes released today.
Circle Jerkler.
I'm trying to hurry up and get the show over so I can go watch at least 1 or 2 of those episodes before I go to bed tonight. But anyway, The Circle is some of the worst human beings you ever want to see in the first 2 episodes. But then somehow, some way, through the magic of reality TV game shows – they start to grow on you, and you start to enjoy watching it. And then next thing you know, you're 8 episodes in, and you're like, I literally need to watch the next one. So I highly recommend The Circle.
So wait, it's a reality show?
Yeah, yes. It's a reality show. I told you this last week, Jason.
Quote-unquote reality.
Right. I mean, it's a game. And they lock the players in an apartment, and the only way they can interact with each other is through social, you know, the circle, social media, which is in the, they cannot video or voice or anything like that.
You did not explain that this last week.
I did explain it. Didn't I?
Yeah, he did. He did, because that's why I went and checked it out.
Now, look, in fairness, I was covered in pixie dust.
Okay, that's true. So anyway, it's right. That, and there's a few catfish in there, so they're playing as other people and, you know, trying to convince everybody there's something else. So it's pretty neat. It's all your old reality game show style where, you know, you gotta survive.
No whammies, no whammies, and stop.
You gotta survive getting blocked instead of evicted or getting the tribe has spoken, but all the same things. All right. So the other one is Lost in Space, which, Jason, I know you said you couldn't get into episode one, which I don't even understand that part, but you need to commit yourself to watching a couple of episodes of that show. It is the best sci-fi show on Netflix, or at least top three.
It's really
good. I wouldn't say best. It's not the best, but it is.
It's really good.
I like it. Yeah, Altered okay. Life, Another Life was good with Katie Sackhoff. That was good too.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure once I finish Umbrella Academy, I'll get back.
Anyway, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Twitter for daily conversation, like us on Facebook to watch these live broadcasts, and you can subscribe on YouTube to watch as an alternative to the old-fashioned way. Or your podcast app. And we have a website, and I don't know that anybody actually listens there, but the website is DomePatrolPodcast.com.
I do.
Hey, bye-bye, donkeys. Really?
Bye-bye, gumbo, gumbo, donkeys, go Tigers.
Good night, Tiger Nation.
Caught in the Death Star, no escape from this tractor beam. Oh, be close your eyes, be one with the Force and see. Tonight, lot of dark, little light. Anyway, the force flows doesn't really matter to me. To me. And Jabba just captured Han, took him down without a fight. And now he's frozen carbonite. Well, Jabba, Luke Skywalker's come to free his friends and take them all away. Jabba, ooh, didn't mean to kill Rancor. If R2 does not of a green man.
Master Yoda, will you raise up my X-Wing?
Force of lightning, very, very frightening me.
Obi-Wan,
Jedi Master,
I'm just a slave boy, Qui-Gon's come to free me.
Here's a chosen one from the prophecy, sparing his life from this captivity.
Easy come, easy go, why don't let me go?
No, I will not let you go.
Let him go.
No, no, kid.
I will not let you go.
Let him go. No, no, kid.
I will not let you go.
Let me go.
Will not let you go.
Let me go.
Never, 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 never let me go.
No, 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 no,
no. Oh, mama,
mush me out, my mush me out.
My mush me out, let me go.
Lord God, Katrina's an apprentice, put aside for me, for me, for me.
Nothing really. To me,